I am super excited to announce that we now have a formal partnership with The Prospect Wizard. And when I say wizard, I mean wizard. Obviously, you have a website. This allows you to convert your website traffic visitors directly into leads. It's not just another chatbot, and it's not AI, but it allows a visitor to call, text, or leave a voicemail. Immediately goes to you, your sales team, or anyone else in the club instantly. MIT shows a study that if you contact a lead within 10 minutes, chance of them converting goes up 9 times that of the average. We got the Atlanta clubs on it, Vita Fitness, Gold's Gym, Mountainside, City Fitness Philly, College Park. Become one of the next Halo companies to deploy the wizard. It's easy to use. Go to theprospectwizard.com. Get a free 30-day trial. Talk to my boy, Dave Gallen. He will get you all set up and let the leads flow based on the wizard. Go get them.
This is Pete Moore on Halo Talks NYC. I have Blake and Brian. We're going to talk about the pickleball Brazil, beach tennis, Southern California. You heard it here first. Take it away, boys.
All right. Well, thanks for having us, Peter. Great. It's great to see you again after meeting at that networking event in Venice, California, where I think we briefly discussed beach tennis, which piqued your interest, I think, it was a year and a half ago now. And we've come a long way since then. So we're excited to tell you a little bit about our story and our growth. But just to kick things off, I'm Blake. I'm one of the co-founders here at Ola, and I'm joined by my partner, Brian, who I'll let introduce himself.
Yeah, Brian here, the other co-founder. And yeah, about coming up on 2 years ago, we started Ola Beach Tennis after finding it in Brazil. So maybe we'll start with with the origin story.
Yeah, please.
Blake's wife is actually from Brazil, so he was going there in the winters. And I found this game. Everyone in the beaches of Rio is playing either beach tennis or foot volley. So, you know, foot volley with their volleyball with their feet. And beach tennis, we were just like, what is this sport? It seems accessible in the way that pickleball is accessible, but obviously with the backdrop of mountains and ocean and beach and people diving and, you know, summer year round. So we decided to try to bring it back to LA. And Blake, you want to pick it up there?
Yeah, it's kind of an interesting story. So Brian and I actually grew up about 5 houses down from each other in Ohio. So we grew up in the Midwest, and Brian was a year older than I in high school. So we always played in competitive golf, baseball, basketball, football leagues and such together. And we were reacquainted about 7 years after we graduated college. So Brian moved to the Bay Area. He played baseball at Georgia Tech, and I played golf at a school called Dominican University up in Marin County. But long story short, Brian texts me and says, "Hey, I'm moving to San Francisco." And so we kind of rekindled our friendship and began to play all the sports that we did as kids. Fast forward that journey, I moved down to LA. Brian went back to Austin for a bit and then actually found himself back in LA. The first day that he gets back, he tears his shoulder out. We were playing basketball at Equinox. And so there go our big elaborate plans of continuing the golf and basketball journey that we were so excited about when Brian moved back to LA. And we said, shit, what are we going to do? Because, you know, we're so excited to play sports. And hey, remember that game we saw in the beaches of Rio? I think I could play left-handed. Let's order a couple rackets and like, let's test it out. So it started there actually. We were playing on volleyball nets, which we learn now it's not the correct nets for beach tennis. A, the holes are too big, so the ball goes through, and B, it's too high. Beach tennis is played on about a 6-foot net at the men's competitive level. So anyway, it's come a long way since Brian and I, with one arm, you know, rattling back and forth to each other, you know, just to give you a sense of scope. Last year, we hosted about 4 tournaments. In the peak, we had about 120 participants, but over 500 people come in and out throughout the day. We've done a variety of corporate wellness events, which is a big focus of ours. So we're actually doing one again with Aloe Yoga. We did a 100-plus person event with them last year. The whole idea is that companies, corporations, they want more. They want to build community. They're offering hiring a lot of new people. Some people work remotely. And going to the bar and spending a big drink tab is a good way to do it, but there's a better way. And we think that that's through racket sports and beach tennis specifically. So I think you're seeing a trend of growth from companies that are saying, hey, how do I get my employees to connect with each other? We're going that route. So we've got a corporate events angle. And we also host just community open plays, which Brian and I are going to head to after this every Tuesday and Sunday in Santa Monica. So you can drop in and do like a pickup. We're also exploring leagues and we give. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. So one of the things I was going to ask you is, so when you guys reconnected, what were your actual day jobs? And what did you decide to give up for this?
Yeah. So in San Francisco, I was a data scientist at StubHub. And now I do analytics consulting. So haven't drifted too far, but especially in this remote world, it's like such a blessing to have day jobs at home. And then knowing as soon as I log off, the beach awaits with, you know, all friends and everyone to go play this great game of beach tennis.
Nice. Blake?
Yeah. And I still am fully employed at a fintech software company called Adapar, which is, you know, I spend 98% of my time. We've got an operational staff that now runs Ola for us. And Brian and I get to just benefit from the community, which is great. So my focus is still on the software company that I work for. But, you know, who knows? At some point, there might be a cutover. We're looking at opening new locations. We're looking at Miami. We actually just signed a partnership with a school in Brazil in Rio de Janeiro. And there's a lot of appetite and growth for racket sport communities. And so who knows what's next, but happily fully employed for now.
Yeah, that's cool. That's great that you can kind of moonlight on this. At some point, it's going to become bigger and you're going to have to make a decision that like, hey, this is where my passion is. Maybe I'm making my profession, which we've got plenty of podcasts that have gone down that trajectory. You know, when you take a look at, you know, in the Northeast, there's a lot of people playing padel. Right now, I've got some health clubs that are repurposing mm-hmm. a number of their basketball courts and outdoor and kind of putting bubbles up. You got pickleball courts that are proliferating everywhere. You know, beach tennis, where does this kind of fall into like one of the fastest growing sports? Obviously, you guys are doing events. Is there a wave outside of Brazil, or are you guys basically like you're bringing it to the U.S.
It's definitely already a global sport. It's still niche and growing, but it actually originated in Italy in the 70s and 80s. So professional Italian tennis players were going to the beach. They didn't want to stop playing, so they kind of invented this, you know, tennis for the beach tennis. And then anywhere, you know, I think all pickleball, padel, beach tennis, all these derivatives of tennis. Tennis is such a global sport, you know, it's played in almost every country, every region of the world. So there are always kind of this natural familiarity with any of the derivatives. So I've played padel, played pickleball. I think what ties them all together is in racket sports, there's this flow state where the ball is moving so fast where it's like, you don't have time to think, you just react, especially as the games get smaller and you get closer to the net. And beach tennis has that, just kind of taking thinking out of it. You get lost in the flow state.
Yeah, maybe just to add to that, Peter, like we didn't realize this when we first found beach tennis. We thought we were kind of the pioneers of bringing it to the States, but like it's pretty developed within Miami and then also in Puerto Rico. I was in Osaka, Japan about 4 months ago. They have a community there. So they play it in I think roughly 35 plus countries, and there's an aspiration to get it into the Olympics at some point. It'll probably take a couple cycles. But it's definitely a globally known game. It just happens to be the epicenter is in Brazil because a lot of the weather, you know, the weather's great right there right now. And there's tons of beach space. And there's a lot of Italian players kind of like living and growing the game out of Rio. But that's percolated up north into Miami specifically. And there's, you know, little communities opening all along Florida that are playing beach tennis. And I think we've really planted the flag in the West Coast. But there are other existing communities. And it's important to note that Ola is a brand that was built out of a need where we first started buying equipment and we said, man, this stuff is really cheap from China. It's like $50 and the branding's pretty bad, or it's a $400 racket that I'm not ready to commit yet. Yeah. And we didn't have a kind of simple branded West Coast, like local friendly version. And so thus emerged Ola, right? We built this with this brand from scratch and kind of tried to create a bit of a personality around it and do it in the US. And so that's really the origin of Ola Beach Tennis. Ola is Portuguese for hello. The kind of concept is everybody's welcome. And so anyway, just some context there.
And then, I'll add one more thing on like the craze. I think the kind of theory behind these tennis derivatives and their popularity is, you know, kind of the length of the rally, right? So pickleball and padel and beach tennis, the beauty of it is within 10, 15 minutes, you're kind of hitting the ball back and forth. You get the gist of it. And you get these kind of magical moments where, you know, rallies can last 20, 30 shots back and forth and everyone's kind of, you know, celebrating and diving and making these heroic plays versus I think tennis has somewhat of a higher barrier for entry where if you're not hitting topspin or these, you know, crazy second serves, it can become very short points. So I think that's part of the kind of popularity of these derivatives is it's just more fun, less breaks, and kind of more flow.
This is Pete Moore. I want to let you in on a little secret. There's this company called Promotion Vault, and what they do is they give out rewards from retailers that allow you to incentivize your members without having to do zero down and 1 month free, or giving away shakes, or giving away t-shirts. What you want to do is build a rewards program that lasts, that people value, and that doesn't discount your own products and services. So here's the deal. There's something called Rewards Vault. The Rewards Vault is going to allow a member to set up their own profile. They are going to answer questions. You are going to get those answers. You're going to be able to target those members, and you're going to reward them inside your club, inside your spa, and outside of the club and outside of the spa to get them to become loyal, to get them to pay their monthly dues, and to be rewarded properly for the actions. A lot of companies are cutting back on rewards. You shouldn't be. Promotion Vault's your answer. Trust me, this is real.
When you think about, we'll have in the show notes, all the rules of beach tennis, but just give us a little crash course on what's different than a regular tennis game.
Bri, you want to take that one?
Yeah, I sometimes describe it as kind of simple tennis. Obviously, it's on the sand. So when the ball hits the ground, the point's over. So the biggest difference between tennis is the ball is always in the air, more like a badminton. Secondly, it's kind of simplified tennis in that it's one serve. You can serve anywhere. It's played within the same confines as a tennis game. So I like to describe, if you know tennis, it's 15, 30, 40 game, no advantage. If you don't know tennis scoring, no worries. First team to score 4 points wins the game, and then you rotate. So, we kind of tailor the rules to our audience, but it's simple whether you have tennis as a reference or not.
Yeah, and the balls are not quite aspirated, but they're less compressed, so they don't use a tennis ball. It's about a 60% compression, so the ball doesn't go as fast. You use kind of the bounds of a, similar to a volleyball court in terms of the size of the court. The game's typically played 2-on-2. And the best part about it is you can dive for the ball, right? That's like one of our favorite activities is that deep lob in the corner that makes your opponent have to air out and go get it, but not scratch their arm. Or if you look at a lot of the knee injuries that are taking place within tennis sports, like on the sand, you don't get that a lot because it's a low compression sport. So you can play it from the age of 5 to 95, similar to pickleball.
I remember, I grew up in an era where Boris Becker was one of the top players, and that guy came out. It looked like he was in a skateboard accident after every match on a hard court. That guy was all over the place.
Exactly. Yeah. So he would have loved beach tennis.
Yeah. How long do you find that people are hanging out at a match, an event that you guys have? Is it kind of like the equivalent of a volleyball where it's basically an all-day event? Everyone's kind of chill, moving around, round-robin tournaments. Give us a feel for the community that you guys have built.
Yeah, I'll take that one. So when we first started off, we had to beg people to come play in our tournaments because nobody knew what the hell beach tennis was, right? And then they get a paddle in their hand the first time and they have a bunch of fun, and now we can't kick them off the courts fast enough. But it's been a testament to just being consistent, just in terms of the operating model, to give you a bit of a behind the scenes of the business. So Ola activates twice a week on Tuesdays and Sundays. Tuesdays were our marquee day. The logic there was that it doesn't compete with a lot of the other activations in West LA. So on Wednesday, famously, there's this Venice Run Club that gathers, thousands of people. Saturdays, people have their commitments to their own gym schedule, et cetera. So anyway, we carved out Tuesday night and we rocked with that. And, whether it was rain or shine, cold or hot, we stuck with it. And over time, people just planted in their heads, hey, on Tuesdays, we're going to beach tennis. And so we continued to expand the courts. We hired a full team, and people look forward to that community after work. We often hear a lot, hey, it helps break up the work week because we know we get a little bit of a social / exercise on Tuesday night. So that's where we started. We expanded by popular demand to Sundays, especially as the weather was changing and the sun goes down earlier. We needed a little bit more flow. And then we do these bigger monthly tournaments in the summer, where we typically do a group play similar to the World Cup. So you're matched up with 4 or 5 other teams. You compete against each other. You add the total number of games won, and then the top 2 teams get out of the bracket. And then it's kind of single elimination from there. So that's the structure that's worked pretty well for the bigger tournaments. And for the open play, we basically set up the courts within three levels, like beginner, intermediate, and advanced, and everybody gets a wristband. And then there's specific challenge courts as well. So the idea is we have a court for everybody. We also provide instruction. We have professional players from Brazil that teach classes. And so we can meet you where you're at, whether you're just getting started or you're a professional and you want to take your game to the next level. You know, Ola has a court for you, which is awesome. And then you can play with people at the same level. Because I think one of the biggest gaps is if you're playing pickleball, you know, if you're a decent player and you're playing with someone who's a total beginner, you're probably not going to have that much fun, right? And that's for both parties. So we've really tried to invest a lot in the experience of the events. So we often bring partners to distribute products that align with our brand. So healthy products, you know, hydration, we do massages, and we have DJs set up on the beach as well. So we create an environment where people want to stay and hang out to address your question. A lot of times people come on Sundays just to hang out and network with each other. We've even done singles night events. Actually, one of our good friends, one of our biggest customers, just found his girlfriend through our singles night event. So we're really trying to connect the community. It's a lot bigger than beach tennis. It's about building a place where people feel safe, people can go to meet their business partner, a new girlfriend, a new friend in general without having to use alcohol as a mask and just be their authentic self, almost like when they were a kid at recess, right? We always joke about that, but I think it stands true.
You know, just to get into your guys' head about you're starting something here, you know, you're not typical entrepreneurs that are saying like, I got this awesome idea. I'm going all in. I'm going to raise money from friends and family. I'm not taking a salary. You know, you're building something that is, you see the results when you see people from the community coming out and not being able to kick people off the court. And now like they're your ambassadors and evangelists. How do you kind of think about this as, let me take a step back. The only way we're going to solve loneliness, obesity, and diabetes is to get people out of their apartments, get them into group settings, make sure that they understand that exercise is fun and they're not challenged by going to the gym and having to lose X amount of weight, right? And they get demoralized by that. So I think, you know, between pickleball, between padel, between what you guys are doing, beach tennis, like this is the answer. So how do you think about, you know, your day job data scientist, right? You guys are like, hey, I got my key performance indicators. I got my ROI. I've got, you know, all these trends and analyses. And then it's like, hey man, we just had 100 people show up here. It's not about the revenue. It's not about like, you know, how much we charge. Like, how do you guys got to toggle between the two? Because I think guys like you are going to be ones that kind of like change the game. But it also is helpful that you have a day job where you don't have to like turn it into a business model when it doesn't need to be a business model yet.
Yeah. I think, yeah, having a little bit more of a slow burn and less pressure on, you know, deriving a lot of profitability from this immediately gives us a chance to grow with the community. So we've been very, very intentional about listening to feedback and really adjusting the experience to, like you said, give the best experience for the most amount of people. So like we were talking about before, this is a very, very inclusive sport in that 10 to 15 minutes, you can basically go from what is beach tennis to enjoying beach tennis. And then secondly, with a lot of intentionality, our community, like Blake was saying, is very, very inclusive. So, you know, I try to join new clubs or new groups and you go and, you know, if it's a little bit niche, they'd be like, oh yeah, like you should come, but hopefully you're already good because we don't want to take a lot of time to kind of get you up to speed. We're already having fun and, you know, we like this activity. But for us, we're like very, very intent on, hey, this is new to you. We're going to get you a racket, get you into a place where you're comfortable and have an opportunity to really grow into the sport. You know, starting at a beginner level and then people get hooked and keep coming back and then they, you know, they get better and better and kind of play to their level. So very intentional in being as inclusive as possible. And yeah, just really enjoying seeing this community grow because we haven't had like a deadline or investors to say, you know, like get this much money out of this by this time.
We also invest like 100% of the profits back into the business, right? So like that's one other thing to add is that because we're not drawing a paycheck from this, all the revenue we derive goes into the client experience and it will, you know, in perpetuity while we're running it. Like this is all about how people interact with us and their experience. It's not about Brian and Blake, you know, pulling money out of this thing. It's all about our customers. So working in software, being at a very product-led, you know, customer focused, product oriented firm, we think about the business like that. So after we close down the session, from our maintenance team to our operations guys, we ask them, we go around the circle, hey, give us two things that went really well and give us two things we can do better. And we continually approach this, you know, business building with the concept of Kaizen or continuous improvement. And we always want that feedback, right? And so we're never satisfied. It's always about our customers. It's always about their experience. And then when you put your ego and your own kind of interests to the side and put the customer first, it's amazing. Great things happen.
This is Pete Moore. Here's the last tip for you of the podcast. We are partnered up with a company called Higher Dose, higherdose.com. They are the leader in workout recovery products, infrared technology, LED light masks, neck enhancers, and other products such as PEMF mats and sauna blankets. If you have not gotten on the workout recovery train yet, your time and your stop is now. You got to get these products in there before these workout recovery and spas end up saturating your market, having your members walk out of the club and going into one of their locations for $200 per month, where they're paying $39 to you. Let's become an expert in workout recovery if we are already an authority in workouts. Higher Dose, check it out. There's a wholesale code, and we look forward to helping you augment your products and services to meet the demands of your members. And hey, let's get people happy, healthy, and sweating, and the recovery should be just as good as the workout.
And then when you take a look at like Aloe, obviously, you know, they're taking a big run at Lululemon. They've done a great job. You know, how do you think about the commercialization of what you're doing? And maybe that's warranted because it's going to bring more people. It's going to bring more marketing dollars. And have you had any situations yet where you said, hey, look, I'm not here to promote your brand. Like I want to, you know, like I've got somewhat of like a utopian view, or like I'm not commercializing this. How do you guys think about that?
I think I'll take that one. I mean, the biggest thing for us is that I hate to say the word architecture because that's like a software term, but we're really independent and open-minded with who we work with. For example, we love Aloe, and a lot of the girls that work for the Aloe team found us organically and then internally vied to get a corporate event on the schedule. And we did one event with 20 people. It turned into a second event with 100 people. And now we're doing another one with, you know, about the same number. So it's almost organic growth, but we also have a partnership with an amazing brand called Live, which is a sportswear company from Brazil. They're very big in Rio and in Brazil specifically. And they just opened a couple stores in the West Coast and they're looking to connect with that community. But we've also done events for Lululemon. So it's really about us kind of looking at different brands and saying, great, what's in it for you? What's in it for us? But we're just looking for the maximum exposure for beach tennis. And as long as the brand identifies with our values and principles and matches the style aesthetically, we'll do these collaborations because it's in for the, you know, we're partnering with different influencers that are also sponsored by Aloe. And we don't really have a horse in the race other than we're trying to grow the game. So we kind of keep an open mindset there, right?
Yeah. I think one of the takeaways here for the people that are listening, and I started doing this years ago, pre-COVID, instead of going to a bar, like you referenced, or going to a dinner, I invited somebody, just meet me at SoulCycle. I'll pick up your class. I'll pick up your shoes. I'll pick up your water. We'll go get a shake or a salad afterwards. And, you know, kind of exchange the three Moscow mules for, you know, a 45-minute SoulCycle class. And I feel like if it's top of mind for people to say, hey, Tuesday night, come and meet me. Like, that is our business meeting, you know, and that kind of changes the relationship that you have with people, more from a standpoint of being like a New York banker, you know, like you had like a typical way of having meetings, whether if it's after 5 o'clock, like we're going out for drinks. And I think that paradigm has finally shifted where that's not a requirement anymore. And it's actually welcomed. So I love that you're doing that and trying to get people to use your venue as a way to live a healthier lifestyle and also to have more fun and build relationships and other peers around, that it's not a drinking activity.
I think that's what people want in the world, right, Peter? People are looking for authentic human connection more so now than ever. And if you look around, there aren't that many venues that are creating it and investing in it. And you know, I think if you're a business listening to this, or you're the founder of a firm looking to connect your employees, like reach out to us. We put together custom packages. We do it at a very reasonable cost because we believe in this so much. We do this in our day jobs, right? Like in my day-to-day, that's what I do. I plan events and I go to conferences and connect with people. And every conversation's like this, right? With the drink in our hand, in our suit, pretending to be someone who maybe we're not. In beach tennis, we're kind of taking our masks off and we're embracing our inner child and we get to play. And when we get to play with people that we work with, we learn something about them, especially when we get to compete and we get a little sweat and we go back into the office next day, we're high-fiving, morale's at an all-time high. So we're big believers of this. I think it's the future. And I think you're going to see more and more companies get away from the happy hours and the bars, which, by the way, there's nothing wrong with that, but they're going to see a lot more value in that $3,000 to $5,000 spend in a community bonding event with pickleball or beach tennis or top golf, whatever it is, right? Because when there's an activity, then you're actually forced to do something, not just chit-chat about something that happened at the office. I mean, that's all great. There's room for that. We just think that there's exponential space for this connectivity.
Yeah. We wrote a book. I'm not sure if I sent it to you, but we'll get two books out to you. We wrote a book called Time to Win Again. It's basically running your company like a sports team. You know, take timeouts, fix the business, treat all your employees like professional athletes, learn about them personally, and, you know, figure out how to build relationships, slow down the tape. So we'll send you guys books. It'll resonate with both of you. And you'll love what you guys are doing. Feel free to use the term HALO. It kind of fills out some of your lettering anyway. Health, active lifestyle, outdoors. We're getting rid of the word wellness. And you guys are squarely in the sector of where we want to make sure people are going. And, you know, we're going to have a lot of, you know, ancillary benefits from that. So I'm glad we reconnected. I'll come out on Tuesday when I'm back in a couple weeks.
We'd love to host you, Peter. Thank you so much for holding the space for us to share our story, and we can't wait to see you on the sand soon.
Awesome. All right, guys. Brian, good to meet you too, buddy.
Thanks, Pete.